Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. 51551, let's go straight to the name of the company that we're trying to find, trying to get some information about, because our listeners have given them money. And the name of the company is Solarsol, S-O-L-A-R, S-O-L as in sun, and that's what they do, sun panels. They're based there. It's quite a big outlet, but it's now closed, just as you're going into Gowrie from the Arklow side, as they say. And there's your left hand side is the big Lidl, and then on the right hand side there's a little, well, it's a lovely little shopping centre, has a garage, petrol station, carry out, has a couple of centre type shops, has a vaping shop, and the fourth shop nearest the road is called Solarsol. But where are they? We're trying to find them. Patricia O'Neill, how did you come across Solarsol?
How are you, Joe? I heard about them from family members.
Okay.
I did some work for them, and all very happy, very satisfied customers.
And how much have you given them?
I have given them €3,875 euro as a deposit.
Wow. €3,875. And when is the last time you've heard back from them?
The 29th of August.
Oh, wow. Well, now into October. And what response are you getting when you try?
No. I can't contact anybody.
Phone numbers are gone.
Yes.
We know the outlet is closed, the shop, yes, which is a big... And have you been in there? Did you go into that place?
I went down to their premises, I'd say, in early August, and they were closed.
And have you managed... I've only managed to look at it on Google Earth. Though I'm down there regularly. Have you looked in through the window? Was there anything in the building?
Nothing inside.
Oh, there's nothing?
Nothing at all, no.
And was there?
I can't honestly tell you that because I was never actually in
the office. Okay, so there's no desks, no chairs, no waiting area, no armchairs, no plants, no solar panels?
Nothing. No.
Okay.
Nothing.
So, I don't want names of people. How did... Okay, take me through the process. Did you ring them first and say, what do you ask for?
I rang them first and said I was interested in solar panels,
yeah,
and they said they would send out their sales rep to
okay.
me. Excuse me, which they did.
Yeah.
Lovely man. We sat down, talked it through,
yeah,
and I agreed to have installed 8 solar panels.
Okay.
And that was fine. And they're... They invoiced me the total cost. Can I say what the total cost is?
Yes, of course, yes.
€7,750.
Okay.
And you pay 50% before the job begins, 30% when the panels are in situ, and 20% at the end for the paperwork.
Okay.
So I duly paid the 50%.
Yeah.
At the end of July.
But 50% was how much? That was 3,875.
3,875.
Okay. And when was your, that was your first instalment and you paid it on time. When was the next instalment due?
It would have been due when the solar panels were put on the house.
Okay. And it's, you paid your money, your 50%,
yes,
you're just under,
yes,
3,000. And is that the last you've heard from them?
I got received an email,
okay,
on the 29th of August from admin at Solarsol, telling me that they were, it looked like they were in difficulties and possibly going into liquidation. Now, okay, after that, there hasn't been a word and they're non-contactable.
What date was that? We might be
29th of August.
Okay. Now, the SEAI, or the body, they say Solarsol are no longer registered with them. So have other people been, are other people looking for Solarsol? Solarsol, Unit 4, Ambassador Retail Park, Dublin Road, Gowrie. That's what we'd love to hear. And
yes, I presume other people have been caught,
yeah,
like I did.
And again, I don't want any names. Did you get the impression the company was a local company to Wexford or Gowrie?
Yes, well, you see, they had done business with my extended family and
okay,
everything was... they were all very, very happy. So I had no doubts whatsoever. And I know they have been in business for a minimum of 10 years.
Okay, well, that's a pity, isn't it?
It is a pity. Yes.
Yeah, well, it's a pity for you. You've lost 3,000 so far. And hopefully we get it back. But like companies can get, people can become unwell or, you know, for various reasons, companies can get into difficulties, trading difficulties, but they should tell people if that's the case, if that is the case.
Yeah, I understand this.
And did you get any sense from your family members, did you get any sense of how many people worked for SolarSol?
My family members all had two installers who came to their house, did the work in a day, day and a half, and absolutely no problem.
Okay.
And the same, they paid 50% up front, 30% after the panels were installed. They exactly the same. So I had no doubts. They were reliable, dependable.
Yeah. But no, did they ever, I know it's a stupid question, did they ever see a van or a truck or a VW transporter with SolarSol written on the side?
I have, actually.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Myself. I have seen
well,
them.
Spotted. Yeah. Yes. You've seen them around Wexford?
Yes.
You've seen one, at least one van, or would you?
At least one, I would say.
Okay. And had SolarSol written on the side and
it had,
the phone number and Gowrie and all that carry on?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I presume...
There's no reason to doubt them.
Yeah. And what will you do now?
That's a good question. I've tried all phone numbers, all emails. I just cannot contact anybody. Nobody's getting back to me. So I don't know what to do next. I rang the CCPC.
The Competition Regulator, yeah?
Yes. Who told me to report it to the Gardaí, which I did.
Oh, did you? What did
they told me it was a civil matter.
Oh, God.
Okay.
So that was the end of that, was it?
Yeah. And they told me to contact a solicitor, which I haven't done yet.
Yeah, but contacting a solicitor means money.
Yes.
Before we go anywhere.
I might come out the wrong end of that anyway, so I haven't done that.
So I just have the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, which is a government quango, and have they any, when someone is, they say they're not registered with them lately, but if they were registered with them when you bought the, is there any insurance or any comeback? It is a government agency, the SEAI. What do they do?
I have no idea. I was approved for the grant. Do that at the start.
Okay, that's good.
Sorry, a generic email, I'll call it generic, explaining about 3 weeks ago, I haven't the date on that one now, that SolarSol were no longer registered, and explaining to people who had the panels installed and were waiting to get the paperwork, explaining their situation and what they could do. But nothing for the likes of me, who actually got nothing.
Yeah. But did, when you say the grant, do you get the grant or do they get the grant? Do you get the grant when the job is done?
When the job is done.
So if the job is not done, you don't get the grant?
No.
And your siblings, have they any other, did they get any other phone numbers, individual phone numbers? Or?
I sent any information I had into your researcher. Yeah. I think they had one of the workmen's numbers, phone numbers. Other than that, it was all the office.
But I just wonder, were they working directly for SolarSol and Gowrie, or were they contractors? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
It's just they've disappeared overnight.
Okay. And again, you didn't get any sense of how many people were employed?
No. Yeah. Two girls in the office, but that's all I know.
Oh, hang on. Two girls in the office. A rep. And did the rep give you the impression that he was the owner of the company? Or?
No, he was definitely the sales rep.
Okay,
very
so
nice man.
They all are. So that's, So that's three people at least. Three people in the office. We presume an MD, that's four. Two installers at least. So that's six. Okay. Can you afford to hire another company?
I don't think so. That's a lot of money to lose.
Well, I just wonder.
Could be back.
Has the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority. And I know the job is to create a cleaner future.
I was looking forward to getting these panels
installed. Of course, and you're encouraged.
That's the sad thing about it, apart from the money.
And what was the deal? You'd pay them a once off. I know. I hear some ads at the minute that we come and install. We'll install the solar panels for free, but then we charge you for the electricity you use. In your case with Solar Sol and Gori, you pay them to put in the solar panels, and then you get the electricity. That was the end of your relationship with them.
Yes.
And what I just wonder again through your friends and siblings. When you bought solar panels from Solar Sol and Gori, was there a 12-month guarantee or any form of guarantee in it?
Oh, there was a guarantee. No, I can't tell you, Joe, how long it was for, but there is a guarantee.
Okay, Patricia. I'm sorry about that number. Thanks for warning people. 0818715815, joe@rt.ie, 51551 is the text number. Let's see if there's anyone else being stung. We'll come back to it if we have got other people. Okay, Patricia, thanks indeed.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry. And if anyone knows anything, just help us here. Help Patricia. Does anyone know anything about Solar Sol in Gori? They were a big operation. Then let's try and find out. Okay, joe@rt.ie. 51551 is a text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
For next Sunday night at 10:30 on RT Television, the 18th season of The Meaning of Life returns. Gay Bourne, the late Gabo, did 13 seasons, believe it or not. This is my fifth. And you would think in 13 seasons that Gabo, being Gabo, and the great team he had with him would hoover up every fascinating person in the country, but I think we've managed. I suspect we have managed the team once again in this season, beginning on Sunday night, to get a great mix of fascinating people. Now, the idea of The Meaning of Life, just to labour it a bit, it is a very... We record sometimes over 2.5 hours. There's an awful lot of research goes into it. As I say, make no mistake, The Meaning of Life is a deeply researched, heavily thought through, recorded interview programme that befits the title and the subject. I am proud to present it with such strong professional backing from a great team. And that is what it's all about. The briefs can be 50 pages long. 50 pages long, the reading could take, but that is the nature of the programme, and that is the nature of trying to sit people down with a specific agenda talking about the meaning of life. That's next Sunday at 10:30 here on RT1 after the new TV series gone. Victoria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe, and your listeners.
And what happened, Victoria? It's an unusual topic.
The rationale I was ringing up the programme was to do was about, you know, I was wondering, is there a governor or an inspection carried out in hairdressers and beauty saloons? You know, because I had, I go to the hairdressers myself, and I would possibly go to an expensive hairdresser once, and then I'd go to a cheaper one the next time because I'd see that the template would be left in my hair and she would be able to manage it.
Okay. So what happened, Victoria? What happened in the hairdressers that had you concerned, worried, upset?
I was wondering if they sterilised their equipment was one thing. And then I was with the hairdresser one day and not so long ago, and she dropped the comb. And, you know, she was talking to me, which I don't like people talking to me when I'm in the hairdresser.
Okay.
And she just picked it up and carried on. That brought me to, I was wondering, I never get the indication that, you know, she has her little pouch and she carries it along for own equipment.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you know, are they clean from one one client to the next, you know?
Okay, and you're also hairdressers now. They're not beauty parlors, but some of them are as well. But hairdressers do facial hair. They can be doing very, very intimate procedures as well. So you want to know what is the stipulation about sterilizing, about if you drop a comb? Because the way you say it, Victoria, I'd say if somebody dropped a fork in a restaurant, the fork would be replaced, wouldn't it?
I would hope so, yes. Now, Joe, just as you mentioned there, I had an experience myself with laser.
Okay.
And I signed a document.
Okay.
It was like four treatments for the price of six, say, like, you know, so I took the opportunity.
Six treatments for the price of four.
Four, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, grand.
You know, it's like, then I had a consultation with the therapist, and she told me all about the laser and all about the treatment. And I was saying to her, one of the questions I asked was about for facial hairs, what I had done, like, would it remove dark hairs as well as light hairs?
Okay.
And she told me this was a special machine that they had installed, and it would do everything. So I then had
I won't be too prying, Victoria, but what you mean is it will do if there was dark hair on your face, or indeed downy hair, isn't that what it's called, the kind of lighter hair?
Yeah, I had some dark hair and I had some downy hair, but the downy hair wasn't my problem. It was the dark hairs, you know, they were sort of around my mouth and that. And I used to get them done with electrolysis, but the laser now seemed to be the way to go. So when I went there, you know, she would literally cut off all your hair. She would literally shave your face. I would have had my cheeks and around my mouth and that. And she'd literally shave you there it wasn't a razor, but it was like a sharp knife, like, put it that way.
Okay.
But I was wondering, even was that, you know, change from one customer to another. But however, cut a long story short, I was left, after the treatments, I was left with a very downy face. And even my sister remarked to me, she said, you know, you need to get something done with that.
Okay.
It's not menopausal or anything.
Yeah.
It's not hormonal, because I'm way past that. But so I was wondering, in this case, you know, was there anyone out there that would have had this experience of having the laser and you know, a down left on their face? Because it's very embarrassing, you know what I mean. And I wouldn't really go for. What women would do would get, you know, maybe get it removed in various ways. Like, but I just, after the laser, I just thought, God, I don't know what to do. And you know, so I was just wondering if any of your listeners out there.
Okay, so your sister said to you, obviously in a caring way, you should go and have a look again at the downy hair.
She didn't know, and then I said to her that I had the laser, and I said, well, this is the result of the laser, and she said, oh, my God, you know.
Oh, God.
So,
And did you, as you said, you had six sessions for the price of four. Did you do the six, Victoria?
Well, you see, I did, and then the girl said to me, things weren't improving, and she said to me, oh, well, you probably need another one or two, and I thought... No, I won't go on to another one or two because I don't like the results so far, like, you know.
Six of them.
Yeah.
And Victoria, can I ask you, do you like going to the hairdressers?
No, I don't like going to the hairdressers.
Why not?
Well, I would prefer if I went to the hairdressers that they would just get on with their work and cut my hair and, you know, concentrate on what they're doing, you know. But
instead of?
instead of talking to me, yeah. or you know.
And the talk would be your holidays.
Your holidays is right. Yeah, she could be asking you going on holidays or whatever. Like at one stage, I was earwigging, and the hairdresser was, you know, the lady, the client was telling the hairdresser, you know, she was pregnant, and I thought, oh my God, you know, how could you concentrate on cutting hair? Like, you know.
Sorry, who was pregnant, the hairdresser or the client?
Oh, the client.
Okay, she was,
the client was telling the hairdresser. He was like a psychologist, you know. But anyways, that's how the world goes round. But, you know, I sometimes have to come home and you know, even doctor my own hair. Like, I'd have to do a wee bit of trimming to make it. Because it might be a wee bit hanging down, or, you know, it wouldn't be the same length. So I'd have to cut it myself. Like, or, you know, I used to have a fringe and I'd be forever having to do a doctor on it, you know.
But, and Victoria, do you think you have to doctor your fringe when you come home because the hairdresser's been talking, she or he has been talking too much?
Well,
how can you how can you cut hair when you're yapping and talking about pregnancy?
That's what I think. When I would be doing something, I would have to concentrate on what I'm actually doing.
Okay.
You know? So, I'd be applying that to everywhere.
Okay, you don't like going to the hair. Now, so I know some people, when they go to get their hair cut, they invariably get a headache. They just get it for some reason. I don't know where. That's the men I know. They invariably get a headache. It's I don't know if it's a psychological or whatever. The second thing, Victoria, if you don't mind me asking you, are you fussy about hygiene generally? You know the way Donald Trump apparently... this is laughable. He doesn't like shaking hands because he wants to avoid germs. Mother of God.
Are you
generally fussy? There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not a fussy person, you know. Yeah. But when I'd go to a hairdresser's, I would like to. You know, I make an appointment with a hairdresser.
Okay.
I make the time. I make going and getting a cut, a wash and a blow dry.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I would like when they would come out to do my hair that I would be aware that things are clean, that, you know, there is no indication. I just see a price list up on the window, but it doesn't tell me that, you know, things, you know, I don't see a hygiene thing up on the window, you know.
Okay. And would... Would, I know it did happen, I presume it does, in a lady's hairdresser, I presume, could the hairdresser have two or three people, given that sometimes you have to wait and let something set for half an hour or whatever, could the hairdresser have two or three people on the go at the one time?
I would have experienced that, but maybe they'd be running behind time, and the lady would have come maybe for her 2 o'clock appointment, and the hairdresser would possibly leave me, which has happened, and she'd go over to the lady, and she'd be saying blah blah, and she might you know, give her take out her bubbles out of her hair, and she might give her a whiff with my comb and said, you know, okay, we'll do this, that and the other, and then she'd tell Mary to go and wash her hair, and she'd be with her then.
But do you, and Victoria, do you wince when you see the comb that was in your hair being used?
Someone
else's.
Then she'd be over and she'd have, you know, and she wouldn't, there'd be no hand washing or anything when she'd come back to me.
And did you ever say to the hair, okay, I've asked you, I'm asking very intimate questions, apologies, about are you hygienic and do you worry about facial hair? But are you past, were you past remarkable? Would you speak up and say, hang on a minute?
No.
No.
I have not. And you probably think, well, you know, you deserve as good as you get.
No.
Like, I'm sitting in the chair and I'm in the middle of getting my hair cut. So she may cut the head off me, like, or, you know, I don't think I'd be her favourite. I'd be afraid, you know.
I just wonder, are hairdressers in salons, which are primarily working with women, Are hairdressers, are they open to criticism? What happens if you say at the end, I'm not happy with that cut? Or can you come back the next day after you get home and look in the looking glass in the mirror, or come back the next day and say, I'm not happy with that cut? What happens?
Well, there was once upon a time, Joe, that I rang down to the hairdresser, she was local, and because I was going away somewhere, and there was one side of it longer than the other, like, you know. And I rang down to the hairdresser and I said, you know, you wouldn't just look at it and fix it for me, you know.
Yeah.
And she was completely full that day and with appointments. So I said, well, could you not have somebody else to, you know, help you out, you know? And no. So I had to go on with one side longer than the other. Mm-hmm. That's
so true. You didn't get any satisfaction?
No.
I wonder, is there a sign up in any hairdressers in the country saying, if you're not satisfied, don't be afraid to say it to us? Is there?
No, not that I'm aware of. Not that I could see.
Maybe that would that be regarded as a cheeky sign? Because I was in Chapters, is a big bookshop there in Parnell Street, Dublin. It's a fantastic bookshop. But they have a sign up when you go in, shoplifters will be made read Ulysses from beginning to end. And if you're caught for a second time, you'll be made read Finnegan's Wake. It's a cheeky little thing, but it gets the message across. So I'm just wondering, is there any hairdresser in the country that says, if you're unhappy with your locks, don't be afraid to come back to us?
Not that I am aware of, not that I would have seen.
Okay, stay with us. Stay with us, Victoria.
Thank you.
Imelda is in Waterford. joe@rt.ie 51551. Imelda.
Hello, Joe.
You've listened to Victoria.
I have indeed.
And is she on the fringes of complaining, or is she mainstream?
The fringes.
Fringes, okay. Tell us why.
Because if any hairdresser in the country, any salon, would have barbicide, and so if a comb is dropped, it is immediately put into the barbicide.
The what?
Take it.
The barbicide.
Okay. Barbicide.
Okay.
It's a sterilization.
Okay.
But you can imagine a little cafetiere for the coffee.
Yes.
That's exactly, you lift the top lid up, you put all the combs in the base,
yes,
and then
I've
you drop it into the barbicide.
Okay.
Scissors, combs, everything. So no matter what you do, when you take them out, you rinse them underwater, they're immaculate.
Yeah. And is hygiene regarded as the number one? You know what I mean? If an intern, I remember I went for a job in London working in a hospital, okay, the Middlesex Hospital for the summer. And I went for the interview and the matron or whoever asked me, like, what's the most important thing in the hospital? And I said, looking after the patients. And she said, no, you didn't get the job. The most important thing in a hospital is hygiene. Now, is that the same in a hairdresser's?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Scrub down every single evening before shut the doors. And on the Saturday, close of business, everything scrubbed down. All the shelves with the brushes, the hair dryers, they're all dusted down. The shelves are scrubbed. Everything's put back. Chairs are scrubbed. And this is pre-COVID.
Okay.
This is what it is.
And I know you worked
and
in
I
the,
don't,
you, yeah, you work
I'm
in
not
the
a
industry.
Salon owner.
Okay. But what Victoria witnessed with the comb dropping, being picked up again and just immediately used again, that was wrong. That was incorrect.
Absolutely.
But if it happened to a trainee hairdresser, is it a sacking offence?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
It's a learning.
It's a learning exercise. Okay. But if I did it a second time, would I be made read Ulysses?
Yeah. You'd be reprimanded hugely.
Okay. If I did it a third time, Imelda? I think you'd be shown the salon, the salon door, yeah. And Imelda, what do you do? Victoria?
Yes.
You're there. You heard what Imelda said. It's kind of three strikes, three drops and you're out. Victoria, just the next question has nothing to do with you. Imelda, what for, as a hairdresser or in the industry, what happens if someone comes in with hair that is basically undoable for whatever reason? They could have children and they might have picked up something from the children who picked it up in the school. You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
What's the protocol? What's the diplomacy there?
Well, we had an incident like that, 20 years ago.
Okay.
And this lady came in and her hair was matted.
Okay.
Absolutely matted.
Oh, the poor woman. Oh, God.
Exactly. And so that two or three of us got combs and started from underneath her hair.
Okay.
And tried to demat it, we'll say.
Okay.
But then we saw the walkers. And
the walkers, okay.
I'm really sorry, but we had to say no. So everything, the gowns, the towels, the combs, were binned.
Yeah, of course, okay.
So it's a dreadful situation.
Yeah. Now,
had another case of a young girl who was totally neglected. She was 16. She came in. I was working in Kilkenny at the time. She came in and her hair was matted and full of life. But this time I hadn't got the heart because the other lady was a grown woman. This was a child.
Okay.
So we stayed with her.
Okay.
And we got her sorted.
Oh, well done. Okay. Vic, Victoria, and would you go out without your hair done? Would you be conscious of your hair if you were going out? Let me put it another way.
Yes, I always I wash my hair every day. For example, I think your hair is something for a female. It's very important.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is for men or for.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But for women, I think it's very important.
Okay.
So and I would go to the hairdressers frequently. I'd say go every week.
Okay.
I'd say for a cut.
Wow.
And, you know, they're not cheap.
Just,
very expensive.
Oh, I know they're extraordinarily expensive. And I know they've overheads and all that carry on. But, you know, I come back to you again. I won't labour this, but your sister said to you about the downy hair on your face. Would that have stopped you crossing the front door?
Well, I sort of have hair. I have hair in the bob style, so I'd wear it down so that my face wouldn't be seen as much. I'd wear the hair down to cover it.
Claudia Winkleman.
There's absolutely, you know.
You try and hide your face a bit.
Oh, I'd have. Well, I would do because I'm conscious of it. And I don't know what, you know, Liz is the up and coming thing. And, you know, I had it done. So this is the result. So, like, you wouldn't go back to waxing or to, you know, it'd be too much for electrolysis. So, you know, I was with another beautician and said to me, "Oh," she said, "you know, you wouldn't, it's fair," she noticed it, but she told me that there wasn't another machine, you know, only takes dark hairs out. But, you know, it was my sister said to me, you know, that it was noticeable. I thought, oh God, you know, so I would cover my hair, you know, for a second, like down by my ears and that, you know, but front ways, you wouldn't see it front ways only when you go by the
side,
you know.
And when you opted for this laser package, was there any guarantee with that package? Did it say, was there any out clause saying it might not work?
Well, no.
Okay.
There was documentation attached to it. Though, mind you, possibly have researched and looked it up. But I thought with the girl, I felt she was experienced. I felt she gave me a one-to-one prior. And she told me about any questions I had, which was one was to ask about, you know, I thought it would only, it wouldn't do her hairs, or if you have tan skin, it wouldn't do. But she told me, regardless, this machine is magic. Okay. You know, one of them.
But it wasn't magic for you, Victoria.
No. Okay. I ended up worse instead of better, actually. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And what do hairdressers say to you? Hi, Victoria, do you get out much?
Ach, I do. Yes.
Are you going on? Have you any holidays planned?
I'd be conscious of it when I'd meet people, you know.
Yeah. Here's Eileen coming to talk to you. Stay there, Victoria. Eileen Bourne is in Wicklow. Eileen.
Yes, Joe. Hi, how are you?
Now, hang on a minute. We're not talking about dog grooming.
No, Joe, during COVID,
right.
I actually bought a dog grooming set online.
Okay.
And you know what? I thought, well, the dog groomers, for the most part, are open and they have these driver and dog dialer.
Yeah, mobile.
And so I used the dog grooming set to cut my own hair, and I said brought the dog to their hairdressers or the mobile unit. So it worked out perfect. Now the dogs actually are more expensive. I've got two little dogs, for their hair to be cut than my own. So that's the way it works out. But you know, I mean, I do have a hairdresser now, luckily, and she's great. And no problem with hygiene or any issues like that. But I was complimented along the way during the COVID. People would say, who's cutting your hair? It's doing a fabulous job. And I said, no, I have a dog grooming set. So I said, the dog's got his hairdressers now, and I cut my own hair with the dog grooming thing, shaver thing.
Yeah, but still, you have to do it looking in the mirror.
Yeah, you look in the mirror, and then, you see, there was back in the day, there was a hairdresser in Dublin called the Witch's Hut.
No, I remember,
people of a certain vintage.
And snips and all. Yeah, remember them.
Yeah, Tony Rogers. Now, when he used to cut my hair, and I actually used to watch him, and he explained to me, hold out the hair at each side, make sure it was the same even length, and up and down and across the sideways and everything. And, you know, I watched and I said, you know, that's actually, you know, in terms of length, that's how you do it. Now, you're looking in the mirror, and you have a mirror behind you as well. I mean, it's hard to get the back quite right, but I did it into kind of a V coming down into the back. And then when I dried it, because I cut it wet, when I dried it then, I just kind of turned it under and the curly things now you can use. So it was perfect. And anyway, during COVID, we weren't all out that flashy.
There wasn't as much pressure in that sense.
Yeah.
There's quite a few dog groomers around now, isn't there?
There's lots of dog groomers, and you know, I've only little Yorkies, and like they're, you know, anything between 35 and 50 for their hair to be cut.
Wow.
Like for mine, it's more like 65. So you know.
Okay. I saw some of the names. I'm trying to remember one I saw on the van recently for dog groomers. I don't know whether it was Scruffy to Fluffy Grooming or Doggy Diva Day Spa. Did you hear about that? A Doggy Diva Day Spa.
I actually did, yeah. I mean, there is a doggy hotel. I think that's in the States.
Oh, mother of God.
Maybe it's in England. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they have their own room and their phone. And
Positively Impeccable Pet Salon. And the funniest real hairdressers I ever came across by name was the one in Claddagreen in Ballyfermot, and it was called Sherlock. Wait for this, Victoria. You listening? Sherlock.
Yes.
Sherlock Combs, which brings us back to where we started.
Very good, yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Well,
okay.
Somebody else has a hairdresser, and I think it might be in Dublin, called the Scissor Sisters.
Oh, brilliant.
Name has a second.
Oh, it certainly has. Okay, you're getting me into it. Yeah, okay.
No, I'm not saying anything else.
Okay, don't you grant. Okay, Eileen Bourne. Victoria, thanks so much.
Okay,
Okay, thanks for talking about those issues and raising them, Victoria. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is our text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Peter, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
How are your powers of description? They're going to be called on. This is radio.
Right.
Tell us what your issue you wish to highlight.
Yeah, so going into a supermarket this morning, Joe. So obviously it's approaching Halloween. On the way in the door, we were greeted by a masked mannequin in a hockey mask with blood all over the mask.
Yeah.
And he's inside in a cage and with a chainsaw in hand, with severed hands and feet scattered around his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we proceeded past him and then into the fruit and bread section where there were various dismembered body parts hanging over the apples and oranges and onions and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I was just a bit disturbed by it, Joe. So I know that in recent years, people have become a bit more vivid in the decorations that they're putting in their front garden and everything, which I'm not delighted with either. But I suppose this is a public supermarket where people are going in doing their shopping. So I had a 9-year-old lad with me, and my wife had two other kids who are even younger in yesterday as well, and the same thing going on. And so I think it's, I suppose a part of me I don't understand it, but then another part of me I think it's just very inappropriate.
Well, does it not come from the States, from the United States, everything? Does that hold, you know, people putting headstones in their garden, some of them are quite funny, but you're upset with what the, well, I'm looking at the photograph you sent
graphic,
in.
Joe. It's very, very, very graphic. So I suppose whatever about putting kind of cartoonish type masks and those kinds of things around, I suppose to have dismembered body parts, I think is on a different scale altogether. And I guess when we're already confronted with enough horrific news in the headlines at the moment. So, I mean, listen to Morning Ireland, I think it was yesterday, the other morning, and aid workers talking about pulling body parts from the rubble of bombed areas in different parts of the world. I mean, this is going on in reality.
Okay.
And so I suppose to be confronted with it in this way, I just feel it's whatever about me, it's about kids seeing this as well, where you're just going and doing your shopping. And so
you
on.
Think, now, I'd love to if there's any American listeners who are here in Ireland and see these displays in the supermarket, you're saying, or you're implying that they're much more bloody, much more violent, much more obnoxious.
I guess, Joe, yeah.
Yeah, so than you would see.
We lived in the States for a couple of years and we have friends from the States. And I mean, it's a big place, obviously. But my sense over there was that it was more about the consumerist aspect of it, which is fine.
Mm.
But I never thought that it was as graphic or as violent. And I guess, sure, you know yourself, going back over the years in Ireland when I was younger, which wasn't a huge amount of time ago, none of this was present at all. So none of the kind of violence to the kind of human body, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you'd have ghosts and you'd have witches and all that, but, I mean, there was never this dismemberment and blood.
And do you feel, Peter, do you feel you have to shield your children?
Well, the thing, what happens, so, Joe, is either they become transfixed by it because, I mean, what trying to figure out what they're looking at, and then they realise what they're looking at, and I suppose it appeals to some kids, and then the other reaction is that they're totally freaked out by it, and I suppose it's impossible to shield kids going into a supermarket where it's all around you. So I suppose the only option really is to not shop in places where it's going to be happening, I guess you're trying to deal with 4-year-olds' emotions and 7-year-olds' emotions, and you're kind of thinking, well, they don't need to be seeing this on top of everything else.
And but also, Peter, it seems that the context, the world we live in now, where you were averting your eyes on the news with Gaza and Lebanon and children being burned to death in front, all those horrific images that began on October 7th, all the horrific murders and killings and then Ukraine and Syria and Sudan and some that Because a number of people have said to me already, I cannot, not that it makes any difference, the calendar year makes no difference. They said, I cannot wait to see the back of 24 because of all the violence, the world violence.
Yeah.
So you're saying in that context, where I don't know how children can avoid it because it's on every news bulletin since since October the 7th, and it's just got worse and worse and worse. You're saying in that context, children are seeing these images and then they go into a supermarket. We tweeted them, by the way, and at Joe Liveline or at RTE Liveline. Have a look. There's two different photographs. You're saying it's just too graphic for the world we now live in.
So I suppose the difference is when we read the news headlines, it's informational and it's so that we can be understanding what's going on in the world around us. And we're saying to our kids, this isn't good, this isn't right, and it's not something we delight in. And then you walk into the supermarket and people are willingly choosing to decorate the aisles like this. I suppose it's just a totally mixed message.
The photograph you sent us in has dismembered hands and feet. They're very realistic, obviously. Hanging over onions and melons and kiwis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, that's our supermarket. I don't know whether that's the norm. I certainly know it's been becoming more normal in terms of people's front gardens and everything like that. But I suppose it's just making, it's very mixed messages. It's making light of the violence that we see. It may not be celebrating it, but it's certainly not. It's certainly not empathetic or sympathetic with people who are losing loved ones in violent circumstances. So, I mean, even on the way into the supermarket today, you're looking at the news headlines and your heart goes out to the people who are grieving as a result of violent bereavement. And then this is going on.
And what I'm hearing you saying is, has any thought been put into this?
Well, I suppose, so I talked to one of the deputy manager, and she said, well, it's a team.
Yeah, of course.
And I asked her,
a team of
cut off body parts. And she said, well, sure, people do it in the front gardens or whatever, and I said, that's fine in private places, but it's a totally different thing if it's in a public location. And so I suppose there is thought going into it in some parts, and I guess others are just kind of swept along by it and it's becoming the norm. But I suppose I just want to raise the question, why is this becoming the norm?
I think it's a good, I actually think it's a good question. Now, some people might say, it is lighthearted. We need, again, go back to the context of 2024. Glad to see the back of it. No, none of us should be glad to see the back of any year. Our lives are short enough as it is. But anyway, people saying, I'll be glad to see the back of all the violence, killing, horror. But so what's the harm in having a bit of lighthearted stupidity even?
And I find it hard to stomach that argument, to be honest. And I know you're playing devil's advocate or whatever, but I mean, I can't understand how these two things are juxtaposed inside our supermarket.
So it's all and you referenced not too long ago where the images in shops and supermarkets where witches' hats and witches' brooms and spiders' webs and melons and all the carrying. Owen Bourne, Joe at RT.ie. Owen Bourne, good afternoon, Owen.
How are you getting on, Joe?
Good, you're listening to Peter.
Yeah, I am. I think it's a little bit sensitive now for to be given out about decorations in the shop, especially around Halloween.
Okay.
Don't Halloween decorations, you know what I mean? About dismemberment bodies, you know, it's not like there's real blood dripping from them or, you know, anything at all. So, and it's a holiday, it's kind of what it's based on, you know. Like, I'm just wondering, with that sort of
idea. But it's a new development in Ireland, isn't it, Owen, in the last.
Not really, no.
I know, the whole thing of doing up your garden.
And butchers and, but there's been dead fish in shops and, you know, you've seen meat and presses and so where did the thing that come out? You know, it's all. No, there's blood there as well.
Ah, yeah, but the butchers aren't selling the arms and legs of people.
I know, but they're not real arms and legs of people either. Joe, if his kids know about Halloween, which I'm sure they do at this stage, they know that it's a decorative thing.
Have you seen the hanging arms and legs in your local?
Sure, I used to work in a supermarket.
Okay,
I used to work in a supermarket. I done decorations in a supermarket.
Did you do half legs of humans, not lamb now?
Tried our best to make it as real as possible, and what we found is most of the kids and people going around actually got a bit of a kick out of it. And they used to say, the decorations are good. You know, they see you putting the effort, you know what I mean?
Okay, so and did you try and make it as scary as possible or as gory as possible?
All the above. So all that's the whole idea, to be the concept of it.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Stay there on. 51551 text. Odie Fitzgerald, South Carolina. Odie.
Yo, how are you, sir?
Good. What's happening over there, apart from the obvious?
I think everybody's after getting so desensitized. I mean, nothing scares kids anymore. My little four-year-old boy, we walk into Walmart or we walk into any of the superstores, and he's looking at the dismembered arms and bodies, and he's just looking at me and laughing and giggling. I think the world has really moved on. And as your last caller was saying there, do you remember when we were young and you'd see the turkeys hanging up in the butchers around Christmas time? And our mammy's having to tell us, oh yeah, no, they're dead turkeys. Now we're going to eat them. Do you remember the turkeys we see on the farm with all the feathers and they were walking around? Well, they are dead now.
Yeah, but there is a little. There is a little bit of a difference between a turkey and a human being characterized as being dismembered, hanging over your Jaffas and your Kiwis.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that. I get where you're coming from. But at the same time, if you're looking at a dead turkey or bits of beef or whatever hanging, I mean, that was real and alive. Whereas I think kids now know they've become. Kids are growing up so fast, as you know yourself.
Yeah.
You know. That kids now know that the arm, the leg, everything that they see hanging, like the bits of a face hanging off somebody, you know, it's not real. They know
but
it's not
that,
real. They know
but
it's,
does that
it's
make them?
Funny.
Does that let me come in? Does that make them think, Odie, that if they do see or they walk by? I know people try and protect their children. If they walk by the TV news and they do see real humans, God forbid, dismembered or on fire, babies on fire or whatever, that they would think it's not real.
Yeah,
do you become immune?
It is. No, I don't think you become immune to it, which is a good thing. But when we do see, I mean, I watch CNN and Fox News, and they do not hold back when they're showing stuff on TV. And my son has been sitting on my lap or whatever, watching that kind of thing. And it's scary. And I have to say to him, if he'd ask, are they okay? I'm like, no, son, they're not.
You just say that, son, that his name is Donald Trump. If you want scary. Okay, but
I know that.
But do you walk into Walmart in South Carolina or Fresh or whatever? There's various other outlets now. Will you see a dismembered foot hanging over the oranges?
Yes, but not only that, but they're trying their best to scare the bejesus out of you because there's pressure sensitive panels on the floor. So when you walk over them, these things jump out and scare the living daylights out of you. Like, I've been walking into Walmart. I might be going in after work to pick something up. I'll hit the pressure switch, and next thing a ghost jumps out in front of me.
Okay.
And yes, it will frighten you, but...
Imagine if they installed that here in our supermarkets or indeed our supermarkets. should there be insurance claims left, right and centre?
Oh, Jesus, you'd have the old biddies having heart attacks and everything, like, you know.
We have everyone having a heart attack. Okay, Odie Fitzgerald in South Carolina. What's the 20 days now to the election?
20 days, it's really heating up. My own radio show is going ballistic because everybody's ringing up, giving out about both of them.
Okay, that's the best way to be, I suppose, at this stage. Thanks, Odie. Owen Bourne, thanks indeed, and Peter. Back after this, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, going back to Solar Sol and Gory, we're dying to hear from you about what has happened. Like, everyone has compassion. What has happened? But our listener is nearly €4,000 out of pocket, and she deserves a hearing. I'm sorry. And going back to that, Patricia and Gory lost her deposit of nearly €4,000. We've been contacted by Jeff Tracy from Tracy Solar in Limerick, who says that they'd be happy to install some solar panels for Patricia. And he says, I'm only reading these things out now. There's no endorsement here, but fair play anyway. He'll give her enough of a discount to make sure she's not out of pocket. Well, that's Tracy Solar in Limerick. We'll pass on the detail. We'll pass on your details to Patricia, and then it's up to her to decide what she wants to do. Catherine, you're listening to Peter about the hanging hands and the hanging legs and the hanging very realistic feet.
Yeah.
Now, in a human, by the way, not lamb's legs. Catherine, your point, please.
So my point, first of all, I thought it was a joke. I thought he was joking.
Okay.
And then I said, to think that, you know, somebody is so offended by
yes.
something like that. It's like, oh, for God's sake. The world we live in, it's just people are so offended by everything now. It doesn't matter what you do, you'll offend somebody. It's just gone ridiculous, I think. We have to take these things in context.
But it has, in fairness, it has. He is correct, Peter, when he says our imagery around Halloween has changed dramatically in the last 10 years in Ireland. It used to be skeletons and ghosts, but now it's hands and legs and limbs and dismembered heads.
Yeah, but yeah. Horror films have been around for a very long time. You know, we all realise this, you know, it's not
real. Yeah, but a
real.
Lot of, but a lot a of no, Catherine, I take your point, but a lot of horror films have an age restriction on them, correct?
Yes, I
correct.
Suppose you're right. Yeah.
Peter,
Peter,
to paraphrase Catherine, Peter, get a life.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for the advice. I suppose the difference, Joe, is that horror films, you choose to watch them and you can restrict what your children are seeing. This is walking in to buy vegetables and groceries in a supermarket. So there's a significant difference between the two things. And I suppose the context, as Catherine mentioned, is walking into a supermarket where the headlines are about 8-year-olds potentially being murdered and about toddlers potentially being murdered and about body parts being taken from the rubble, and I suppose nobody is.
But are people?
Yeah, but that kind of use
in the complex
Sorry,
world. No, in the complex world we live in, are people not able to compartmentalise? You know what I mean?
I think grown adults are able to compartmentalise. Certainly,
okay.
I suppose it's 4, 5, 6-year-old kids that aren't able to compartmentalise, and I suppose the only option is to not go into the shop in the first place. But I suppose it's a concern. I would see that this is in our shops, that we don't really have any choice in the matter whether they see it or not anymore.
Yeah. Catherine,
I think children are, you know, we're not giving them credit. They're able to discern between, you know, this isn't real life, this is cartoons. Do we get to a stage then where we don't give kids, you know, toys that are monsters or dinosaurs or action men or whatever, you know, that they can't, they don't realise that these are just, it's role play, it's a joke, it's a toy, it's not real life.
Yeah, but I'm looking, yeah, but movies aren't real life either, but Beetlejuice, that's restricted to, if you're under 12, you have to be with an adult. Speak No Evil, that's, you have to be over 16, full stop. The Joker, Folie à Deux, if it's still on, because it got terrible reviews. That's 50. If you're under 15, you have to be with an adult. Smile 2, you have to be 16 and over.
Like so some kids are well able to compartmentalise and would have no problem with it whatsoever. I suppose that's fine. And adults obviously are well able to compartmentalise. But there's a categorical difference between monsters, which are make-believe and imaginary, which some kids will still be freaked out by and others won't, and human body parts that have been severed and with blood, fake blood dripping out of them and hanging from chainsaws and hooks over the fruit and veg in the supermarket. And I don't know, I suppose that's just my take on it. Others obviously don't seem
Catherine, for example, Terrifier, your man Leone's movie. If you're not an adult, you cannot get in to see it. It would be illegal. It's 18s and over. Decided by the Irish film.
These decorations are not actually body parts.
Well, neither is the movies. They're not killing people in the movies. They're not dismembering people in Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stay with us, Catherine. Yeah. Margaret Henderson. Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Yes, tell us.
I was listening to your program there, but years ago my husband bought home a dismembered arm for Halloween. I don't know where he got it. He didn't buy it at the time, but I don't know where he got
it. A dummy one.
It was only a dummy one. But
I thought he came in the door and said, "Here, Margaret, do you need a hand?"
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, my daughter was only about 4 or 5 at the time, but she absolutely was terrified of it. She freaked out completely. Yeah. And I thought, God, I was surprised myself at the time. So I said to him, you may get rid of it. I said, you may get rid of it. So I don't know where he got it. So where he put it was into the boot of the car to get rid of it. And sooner after, didn't he open the boot of the car to throw something in, and she saw it there. And she was absolutely disgusted. She couldn't believe it was still there. It just still freaked her out. And to this day, she'll tell you that, you know, she's 19 now, and to this day she'd say that she was so terrified that it was, you know, she still remembered that image.
Wow.
And at the time, it wasn't anything associated with any films or anything like that. It was just what she saw at the time.
Okay.
You know, so it does have an effect, like, yeah.
Catherine, what do you think of that? It can lodge with you.
I don't know. I just think that people are prepared to be offended by something. If it's not this, it'll be something else.
Yeah. Well, I remember as a child. Let me tell you the story briefly. I remember as a child, I wasn't in my own house. I was not identifying my neighbours who were long gone anyway, unfortunately. I was in a friend's house, and the man next door was a very tall man and a bit creepy. He came out to the back garden where we were all playing with a towel wrapped around his head. Okay? A towel. Fully wrapped around his head, like a mummy. And I got the fright of my life. Okay? And then years later, blind boy, you know blind boy with the plastic bag?
Yeah, I do.
I've had this discussion because we know each other. Blind boy came on Liveline and I had a visceral reaction to him having his head covered. And people got upset about it, that they felt I was too angry with him. And I remember subsequently meeting him, actually recording A Meaning of Life with him, and I said to him, I won't give you his real name, it was out there, I said, blind boy, you know why I reacted to that plastic bag over your head? That went back to my childhood and the fright I got with the man next door with his head completely covered in a towel. That's the fright it gave me and the visceral reaction, and I apologise. You see, I am a psychiatrist as well as everything else.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sarah is in Gorey. Sarah, back to Sol or Sol. You had dealings with them.
Yeah, that's right, Joe.
Tell us, how much?
4,000 we put down as a deposit. And we had to give the deposit before we could get any work done.
Okay. And did you get any work done?
No.
Did you try and contact them?
Yes. Weeks went by and we just thought they were getting the panels sorted. So I said to my partner, let's contact the company.
Okay.
So there was no, you couldn't reach them.
Yeah, okay. And email, did you get any? Did you get that August email? We're in diffs.
Yeah, we got the email to say that they were having a little bit of bother.
Yeah.
But it was kind regards, nobody.
Yeah. Well, so you're €4,000 down. You've got nothing. Now, Sol or Sol, see, we heard earlier that they were a good company and they could still be a good company. Companies get into difficulty. And I'd say to anyone involved in Sol or Sol, if you have got into difficulties, just say it. It's not life. You didn't kill anybody. It's not life or death in that sense. Okay, money is really important. If people want to get the 4,000, to get 4,000 in Ireland today, you have to earn 8,000 before the taxman. But please tell us what's happened. You haven't, like, just, you won't be the first company that got into trouble, and you won't be the first company to say this is what happened. And we'll do our best, or we'll try just to communicate with people, because the last communication, Sarah, seems to be at the end of August. And have you tried every which way of contacting them?
Yeah, we try to contact them, and you feel like giving up.
Yeah.
And it makes you angry, but you can't let anger take over.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll keep trying to contact Solar Sol. As you say, everyone, including yourself, has done their absolute utmost in Gorey. But we'll appeal to them. Hopefully someone that knows what's happened will be able to say, just know what's business. If you've gone bust, it's not unusual in Ireland. But just tell people. That's the thing. Just tell us. As Enda Kenny said, Paddy likes to know. Paddy likes to know. As he said, Sarah, I'm so sorry. It's because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And we'll keep in touch. That's Solar Sol in Gorey. Helen Carter. Helen, you're originally from Dublin. You're living in the States now. Decorations.
Yes, I'm here on the outskirts of Philadelphia. I just like dismembered body parts as having decorations as well. I think there's too much ugliness and violence. I don't like that as.
And dismembered, this was Peter's initial call, dismembered body parts are now a big feature of any Halloween display in Ireland. Hands, legs, heads, torsos. Are they a big part of the Halloween decorations now in the States, Helen, where you are, Philadelphia, for example?
Yes, I do see a lot of dismembered body parts when I go out for a walk. And it doesn't appeal to me. But I follow the news. I hear what's going on, and I hear about it in my work as well. You know,
so violence. So it has, in that sense, got uglier.
Yes, okay. I think so. Okay. Yeah, I would say
in a world that's got uglier as well. So that's your point.
It's hard for people to develop. Children to develop empathy. When this
Thanks. Okay, Helen, the line's a bit flavoursome, so we leave it for a minute. Thanks, Helen Carter in Philadelphia. Thais Kavanagh.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. You were a wholesaler.
No, we're a retailer. We are a fancy dress shop, but we're in the business over 30 odd years. We sell a lot of costumes, but trends change from year to year. Halloween has changed a lot from when we started out 30 years ago. People were looking for
In what way?
Well, people, a lot of years ago, we used to have to sort of make up costumes and things like that. Yeah. But then the stuff, the trend came in from the States where. They were getting into characters rather than the traditional witches or those sort of things. So it's changed so many times in 30 years. Like we had a couple of years back, we had the scary clowns, and we decided not to stock them deliberately because of young kids wearing them. But they bought ordinary clowns and shredded them and put hard blood, artificial blood on them, made them into scary clowns. So you just have to go with the trend. That's really.
And have you got dismembered legs and arms and torsos?
No, we don't do very much in props anymore. We'd have all sorts of plastic weapons and things like that, but we don't do a lot of decorations because there's a lot of other multiples do that end of things now, so it's hard to compete with those. But you either have to stay with the trend or you don't sell. That's really what it's down to supermarkets. I worked in Queensborough a lot of years ago and you were selling monkey nuts. You know, that was the trend at that time, but you wouldn't sell too many monkey nuts these days, you know.
Okay. Are you allowed to sell monkey nuts anymore?
I'm not sure. It depends whether you're a monkey, I suppose, or not.
Okay, Thais. Thank you, Thais Kavanagh in Dublin.
No bother. Good to talk to you,
Likewise. Mark McGrath, sound. Richie Byrne, researcher. Annette Egan, produced. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.